All right.
Praise God. And I had to do that because if not, my wife would say, I didn't get a chance to hear the sermon. So she missed all the beginning, but I'm not going to go over it again because all that stuff shot straight off the hip. But she knows it because we go over this every week, you know, this portion of it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love, your grace, your goodness. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would teach us how to live within the confines of the foundation of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you have put these parameters up for our welfare, for our goodness, Lord, that we would get to know you as the Lord and Savior, and that you would move mighty over this congregation, that we would be a people group that would be humbled and contrite, but living fervently for the love and the grace that you've given us, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. That's this right here, this foundation. There is no other foundation anywhere through any religious system, through anything that can bring you into the knowledge of the Most High God except for this foundation. Amen. That is the truth of God's Word. It is the righteousness of God in His Word. And we know that that is His foundation that brings us to this. And if we're going to live as a people group, called and set apart for His high calling, we need to make sure that we are firm on the foundation. That everything that I do, the way that I live, needs to be reflective of Jesus Christ. That I'm building on the inside of His righteousness, on the inside of His holiness, on what He wants to do. And His greatest desire is to seek and to save that which is lost. And how do we do that? We talked about it heavy this morning. We need to love one another as Christ has loved us. We need to come to Him with a brokenness, with a sincereness of the compassion, the truth, and the grace of God. The world today, excuse me for saying this, but the church, the world's always been going to hell in a handbasket. That's what they do. But the church today is going to hell in a handbasket because the church has started building for a long time off of the foundation of the Word of God. We started putting things on the foundation that were not true plumb with the plumb line that God set out, that were not true to the cornerstone that God put out, that set out and said that everything that's built needs to be built to these certain specifications, to this righteousness. And we need to be careful how we build upon the foundation of God. Right? Because that foundation is perfect. The only thing that messes up this building right here that's guided by the Holy Spirit is me. I put this pillar up here, and if I'm not certain or if I'm not squared away on the cornerstone, on the foundation of Jesus Christ, my first pillar will be out of whack. Here's a way to get your pillar out of whack. Pray after me and you'll be saved. All right? Nowhere in Scripture does it tell you that. Now, it does say, believe on the name Jesus Christ and repent from your sins, and you'll be saved. Amen? So how does a person get saved? How do you put up this first pillar of righteousness on the foundation? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does believe on the Lord Jesus Christ mean? It means that there is a foundation set out there through the Scripture of God, and I believe on that foundation more than I believe on my own self-righteousness. His way is not my way. His thoughts are not my thoughts. They're higher than my thoughts. His way is tougher than my way is. My life is seeking for the easy, broad way. Well, we know through Jesus that the broad way leads to
hell,
death. Amen. It leads to death. But there is a narrow way that leads to life, that leads to righteousness, that leads to the eternal living presence of the Most High God. Few find it. You know why few find it? Because they get really comfortable with their Ryan Holmes. Right? Anybody here remember Ryan Holmes? Right? Y'all remember how well they were built? Amen. You know? Why use two nails when I can use one? And so you might have a 2x4, a main beam in your house that has one toe-nailed 16-penny nail in it, and that's it. They say they built it that way when the wind blows, it can move. I don't know. There is a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. There is one foundation that is made by and through Jesus Christ, and for no other foundation can no man lay that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. I put one extra which in there, sorry. For no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. All right, we're going to stop right there, and we're going to talk about this a little bit. There's coming a day that your work's going to be declared. There's coming a day where the building inspector, Jesus Christ, is going to come, and he's going to say, how'd you build on that? What was the blueprint that you used? Right? Yeah. Has anybody, Alan, you've done this. There's a couple other carpenters here. The plumber comes and he starts setting the plumbing in the on a concrete slab, right? He has a specific place to put the drains, has a specific place to put the inlets of water. Well, he says, well, I'm not going to do it the way that the blueprint does it. I'm going to put it anywhere I want to, right? And so when they come and they start framing the walls and stuff, and the other guy follows the blueprint, all of a sudden, all of the plumbing fixtures is in the middle of the living room. All the toilet, all those pipes and stuff, they're right in the middle of the living room instead of in the bathroom where they're supposed to be. Well, what happened? He looked at the plan. He didn't want to do it the way the plan had to do it, and so he did it his way. That song that Elvis sang, I did it my way. Well, if you do it your way, you're going to mess up the whole building. That's why there's a foundation. That's why there's a plumb line. That's why there's a cornerstone, which is Christ Jesus. And we need to be careful how we build on that foundation. So if we'll back up just a couple, a chapter right here, because we're going to look at how these things work. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I love this. Actually, I guess we need... The further back you get in Corinthians, the better it is. So I would suggest that you, when you get home today, open up 1 Corinthians and start in verse 1, chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 1, and work your way through that. Amen? Because there is so much good stuff in there about building it in your own eyes, your wisdom. If you build things on your wisdom, it ain't going to stand, right? It cannot do it. So in chapter, I'm looking at chapter 1, my eyes keep coming back to this verse. Okay, so I guess I need to start there. So chapter 1, verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring the things to not, to bring to not the things that are. All right? Look at what he said. God says he chooses the foolish things. He chooses the cracked pots to carry the water. Amen? We're all vessels. None of us are perfect. My spout's a little crooked. Right? I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Y'all remember that? Here is my handle, and here's my spout. All right, my spout pours to the right. I'm like one of those jokester cups, like when you drink out of it and it dribbles down your chin. That's my problem, right? I don't know about you guys. Y'all are probably just right, Nate. You know, but I mess things up. Every time I try to do it my way, in my own wisdom, it's foolishness to God. When I tried to build the church, it's foolishness to God. Jesus said he's going to build the church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Who's going to build the church? Jesus. Amen. How's he going to do it? Off the proper foundation.
It's
Amen? Huh?
His way.
By the instruction book, which is the King James Bible, right? It's the instruction book. Now, the foolishness of this world, or the fools of this world, will say, no, I want to be like that plumber that just lays the pipes anywhere I want it to go. Because it's comfortable to me. Well, God says, I don't care if you're comfortable. I need the plumbing to run downhill. Yeah. Right? I need stuff to go in the right direction. When you hook up your fuses and your fuse box, or you hook up, oh, well, thank you, Lord, for this. When you're running the wiring in your house, there's a positive, there's a flow of current. So if you take your plug and put the hot on the negative on the hot, it may work, but it's not going to pass inspection because the current is not flowing properly. God has a way to make these things work, and we've got to do it His way, not our way. The wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. But He takes the fools of this world to magnify the wisdom of God. He takes us, human beings, flawed, arrogant, proudful, rebellious, stiff-necked. And He says, you know, I'm going to take that stone of its own will and I'm going to change it. I'm going to carve it, make it into a living stone. I'm going to move it so it can be a part of this building of Christ. But they've got to be willing to die to themselves to live for the righteousness of God. To build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, I cannot build it my way. I must lean into His way, His righteousness, His love, not my love, that the house may be built without problems, that we won't have any leaking faucets at the end, that the walls will be plumb and straight, that the drywaller won't have, like, at the corner of the house, a 2-foot gap. You know? I don't know. Have y'all ever done any work on an old home? Amen. I need 5 buckets of mud, you know, anyhow, to fill the gaps. God wants to do it the right way. In verse 23, and the base things of this world and the things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to nothing, to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Wow, so why does God choose the worst building material? That the building material can say, well, I'm good enough. I'm not good enough. God takes the worthlessness that I am, and He makes me into worth something. Not by my will, but by His will. Not by my works, but by His works. See, I cannot build my church on that foundation. My foundation is cracked. It's sinking. But Christ's foundation, the foundation of the Word of God, always stands. So we need to be careful of how we build on that foundation. Verse 31, that according to it is written, He goeth and let him glory in the Lord. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save, that means except, save, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Okay, if I'm building the temple, if I'm working alongside God, what do I need to use as my square, as my plumb line, as my foundation? Starts with J and ends in Christ. Right? Jesus Christ. It's Him. It's His righteousness. It's His holiness. It's His goodness. It's His love. He said, I determined not to know anything. I don't want you to know anything except Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. That's the power, that's the gospel that has the power unto salvation for the Jew first and also for the Greek. It is Jesus Christ, His love, His power, His righteousness. And to know Jesus Christ, I first must humble myself to be conformed into the image of God, sanctified daily as I read His word, as He makes the adjustment in my life, as I surrender my will to His will, which is the key of being born again. Do you know that unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom? You can't see the cornerstone? You can't see the Bob Plum? You can't see what is right in the eyes of God? And you can't know these things without first being illuminated by God, by Jesus Christ, Him casting His shadow of love on you. When He does that and you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, He does something that you cannot do. It's called conform. He conforms you, and then He opens up the blueprints to you that you might build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, that you might do it. Now, see, I'm not supposed to judge your work. I'm supposed to judge my work. Why? Because when I stand before the great carpenter, the master builder of all things, He's not going to say, Curtis, well, you shouldn't have done it the way that Dean done it. He's going to say, Curtis, you should have done it my way. I'll deal with Dean on my time. You, Curtis, you're going to be judged on what you did, how you built on this foundation. It's very personal with God and you, how we need to be careful on how we build on this foundation, right? We must be circumspect to the Word of God, that God's Word would give us direction. The Holy Spirit of God would give us how we ought to build on this foundation. Because if I do it my way, if you do it your way, it will not be plumb. It will not be right. Because we will build in our own prejudices. We'll build in our own self-righteousness. We'll build out of our own pride. And when God comes to judge that work, what type it is, there's going to be an answer. He's going to say, listen, I gave you the Word of God. I gave you gold. I gave you silver. I gave you precious stones. I gave you the things that will last forever. And you chose to build out of stubble. You chose to build out of yourself. And you're going to be judged for it. I'll be judged for it. So I am here to determine unto you nothing else besides Christ and Him crucified. What makes the building stand? Jesus Christ. What makes it last? His crucifixion. What's the promise? His coming. His coming. He's going to come and He's going to judge these things. In verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear. Oh, thank you, Lord. I need to go back to that. Listen, you may be judged because you don't know how to pronounce all the names in the Old Testament. There are a lot of folks that do know how to do that. Praise God for them. Right? You take the characteristics that God has already put in you and you use those. Right? I don't do beautiful piano music. Right? So when I worship in a different way than piano. Because if I got on that, it'd be like a chimpanzee jumping on a brick. You know, it'd be, you just cannot make music with me that way. Our piano says, use your fingers. You don't jump on my piano.
No, fingers are dumb.
Yes. Amen.
You have to talk to them.
There you go. Fingers are dumb. You got to talk to them. I love you. So we need to come like Paul. Now, listen, Paul was a very great teacher. He knew all the names in the Old Testament, right? He knew him. He was raised up underneath the teaching of Gamaliel, which was the greatest teacher of his day. From his youth all the way until Christ called him. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He knew all of this foundation all the way up until the Gospels. He was solid on those parts. Couldn't fool him. He had studied them his whole life. And he said, listen, I don't want to come to you about the prophecy times. I don't want to come to you out of nothing but the law of God. I don't want to come to you in the poetic or the historical books. I want to come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to show you through the law, through the Moses' books, the crucifixion of Christ. I want to show to you through the prophetic books the coming again of Jesus Christ. But I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I don't need to spend a lot of time on things that don't bring people closer to the cross. that don't bring people closer to the knowledge of God. I'm supposed to love. I'm supposed to live. I'm supposed to live humbly and not pridefully. I'm supposed to give. We went over it today in the book of Acts, or actually John the Baptizer, when they came to him and asked, what should we do? He said, if you got two coats, give one of them away. If you got extra meat, feed somebody. Don't overcharge for your services. Overcharge for your services. Guess where my mind just went? Out there, $20 for working at Burger King. You know, that's overcharging for your services. Right? Amen? It's a beginning place for work, not a retirement home or a place for retirement. This is where you learn work ethic. Anyhow, different sermon, different time. He said, I want to come to you not in my ability, but I want to come to you in my weakness. I don't want to come to you in pride and arrogance. I want to come to you in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching is not with enticing words, verse 4, of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How are we to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Not in the wisdom of men, but through the power of God. Our teaching doesn't need to be with what Dr. whoever teaches. It don't do it with my teaching. If my teaching does not line up with the Lord God, His Word, the King James Bible, then I shouldn't teach. Plain and simple, you shouldn't teach. Because you'll be teaching in your own wisdom, in your own way. God says if you're going to do anything, preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? What brings to people to salvation? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. For God so loved the world that He gave, right? Those things are the things that bring men to Christ and through Christ and into His holiness. Howbeit, verse 6, we speak wisdom to them that are perfect. Wow. to them that are perfect. Yet not in the wisdom of this world, nor in the princes of this world that come to naught. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For if they had known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Now catch this. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit teaches all things, yea, the deep things of God. What did I miss?
Searches, not teaches.
Sorry, yep, it is searches. And so the problem is when you memorize the Scripture from the wrong Bible, you get the wrong word. Amen? I memorized this scripture right here before I got into the King James. I memorized this out of a different transliteration of the word. And so as I was doing it through memory, I was reading it, but I was just doing it through memory, I used the wrong... And there's a big difference between teaching and searching. Amen? And so the hearts of men which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. How do you know what is right and what is wrong? The Spirit of God searching in you. The Spirit of God searching the righteousness of God inside of fallen men. God's searching. He's searching, what is her name? Yeah.
Naomi.
I've only known her since she was 4. He's searching Naomi. The Spirit of God is in her, turning her over, looking for the wisdom of God within her, that He might use her, use you, use me, for His glory. He's not looking at how smart or how she uses silent letters or how she uses her mathematical equations or how she uses whatever she has on the exterior. God is searching the deep things, the inner things of human beings, that he might be glorified through the brokenness of that individual. I love it that God doesn't fix me. He uses me broken.
Well,
amen?
I should say how she uses silent letters on the way in this morning. She was reading Psalms on
yeah.
the air. And she's like, am I saying this right because I have to pee? You know, I just blew my mind as she said that.
Yeah.
She literally said that like an hour ago.
Amen.
Yeah.
See how the Spirit of God works? Yeah. You know? He does those things. But see, my eye has not seen. I have not seen what God has promised for me yet. I take it by faith. My ear has not heard the full love of God. I do know that God loves me, but I have not heard Jesus Christ say in his voice, well done, enter into my rest. Ah. But I'm looking for the day.
Amen.
I'm building on the foundation of the Old Testament, of the New Testament, of the righteousness of God, by the plumb line of God, off of the perfect square, the carpentry square of God, that there's coming a day that he will see me, I will see him, I will be made like him. Woohoo! Praise God for that. And my sinful, self-righteous, arrogant self will be dead and gone away with. And I pray that after that day, when he examines me, he'll find something. In fact, I'll say this by faith. He will find something in me. And let me let you know what that something is. It is Christ and him crucified. It will not be the works that I have done. It will not be how many times I've preached. It will not be how many times I stood on the corner and proclaimed the word of God. Although all of those things are necessary and good, he's going to look at me and say, what did you do with this Jesus Christ? What did you do? How did you live underneath the power of the resurrection of God? Did you walk in the fear of God? Did you love the word of God enough to adjust your life to it? Were you humble and contrite? How? America, you need to be humble and contrite. Wait, you mean that flag that I have with the rattlesnake on it says, don't tread on me? Hey, I'm He-Man, hear me roar. No, humble and contrite. Humble, broken, and contrite. I'm looking for his righteousness, not my righteousness. I'm telling you, don't get me wrong, I love being born in America, I really do. As I've seen how they live in Africa, I am praise God that he allowed me to be born here. But I know those who are in Africa that say, praise God that he allowed me to be born here in Africa. Because it doesn't matter. Wendy, it doesn't matter. Alabama or New York. No, I'm with you, my heart. But my feet are stuck here in New York until the day God calls me home. And I think he'll bring me to Alabama.
somewhere else.
Amen. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of God save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. All right. Who illuminates the hearts and the souls and the wisdom of man? God. God does. And it begins with the fear of the Lord. It begins with a humble and a broken and a contrite spirit. It begins with saying, not my will, but thy will be done. It begins by when you hear the Father moving over you, calling your name, you say, yes, Lord, here I am. It begins when you realize that you cannot do it on your own, that you're a sinner, bound for hell, and there's nothing saving you, nothing stopping you from dying today and going right to the burning flames of hell right now, this very moment. And you say, I can't, I know I can't help myself, God. I need a Savior. And when you seek Him diligently, you will find Him. When you seek for him with your whole heart, you will find him. And he's going to give you a gift. It's called the Comforter. He is called the Comforter. He's called the Holy Spirit of God. And when you surrender your life to his will, he gives you that Spirit of God that guides you way beyond the wisdom of man, that guides you to the place where you're able to lay down everything for his glory, his righteousness, his goodness, that you hold nothing of value on this world. Everything in this world is but dross. It is worthless. But God. You know, God thinks so much of this world, he's going to burn it with a fervent heat. Right? But there is the thing that God wants us to have is the spirit of other people. He wants us to witness to other people the love of God, that they can hear the word of God and their lives can be changed. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear except there's a preacher? How shall they preach unless they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of him that brings the tidings of good news, the gospel. Who wants to have pretty feet? My wife, she goes down to those folks down there and they clean her toenails and stuff like that. I do it with a pocket knife myself. They do it a little bit different. And then they paint it pretty colors. You know? See, but that's not the pretty feet that they're talking about. He's talking about my feet. Your feet. The ugly, crooked toes, big old nasty knots on the end of hair growing on the back of it. Just things that flies won't even land on. Those kind of toes. He's looking at those toes and say, the toes, the feet that will bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. The feet that will die to themselves and live in the holiness of God. The ones that are willing to not worry about the external, but only worry about the internal and the everlasting goodness of God. Those are the feet. Those are the righteousness. That's the wisdom of God over top of the wisdom of men. And he wants us to know him in that deep way. Verse 16, for who knoweth the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let me ask you that. Do you have the mind of Christ? What are you concerned about? How do you know if you have the mind of Christ? Are you concerned? Amen. Are you concerned about what the Word of God says? Is this what you want to adjust your life to? If you want to adjust your life to this, then you have the mind of Christ. Jesus came to do what? Seek and save that which was lost. False teachers. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Those who confess Jesus Christ with their mouth and never surrendered their heart to him, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And we could go into the murderers, the rapists, the child abusers, all that garbage, all sin. Jesus came and he paid the price for sin. How much of it? All of it. The sin of the world was hung upon Jesus Christ and he became sin. He who knew no sin became sin that we might be the righteousness of God. That's the wisdom of God and the foolishness of men. The man thought that they were going to kill him on the cross. They just set him free. Set him free that he might go to the Father and send you the Comforter, that you might know how to love the unlovely, that you might know how to die to yourself, that you might know how to live humbly, that you might know how to live circumspectly, that you might know how to die, that you might live. That only comes through being born again. That only comes through the very first pillar. I don't have it really written hard yet up here. I'll make it bigger later. I didn't realize how small this was until I stood in the back and tried to read it. This here is salvation and is being born again. Next week, we're going to look at salvation and being born again. The first part of building on this foundation right here is you must be born again. You must be born again. If you are not born again, you cannot even see this building. You can't see the church. You can't understand it, can't wrap your mind around it, because the wisdom of man tells you that it's foolishness. It's foolishness that the righteousness of God would die for the sinfulness of man. That's foolishness. But it's God's way. It's foolishness for a man to pay a tithe to the church or give money to the church, a love offering. That's foolishness to the world. You know that? The world says, that's crazy. But God takes that little bit and he spreads it around the world. And then there's people that don't could never hear the power of God except through the donations of the people that they can give to the folks that go into those places. It's foolishness. I tell you, before I started really being honest with God, my finances, I never had enough money. I don't care how much money I made. I always ran out of money. I always had more money than I had month, or more month than I had money. Amen? I said, how can give away part of that make it last longer? God, that doesn't make any sense. God says, try me in this. Yep. Test it out one time. Let's see if it works. I said, all right, God, I'll give some. Then all of a sudden, my money went further. Oh, God, maybe I'll give some more. I gave some more, and guess what? My money went further. And then it got to the point that it didn't even count about money. Then it came to my time, which was more important than money. He says, all right, God, Curtis, you're doing right on the dollar bills things, but how about the person of you? How much of you are you giving? Well, God, I give when it's comfortable. And God said, I didn't want you to give where it's comfortable. Do you really want to know the power of Christ? Give it all. Amen?
When it's uncomfortable.
When it's uncomfortable. That's when you pour it out. When it's uncomfortable, that's when the giving gets good. And I'm not talking about finances. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your personal relationship with a God who loves you and wants the world to know about him because he saved you. He saved you for the purpose of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. He saved you and he wants your old hairy, corn-smelling, dirty toenail feet to be beautiful before God. He wants that out of you. And you got to do it by building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. You got to do it by living by the plumb God, plumb Bob, which is truth and grace. The grace of Jesus Christ saves folks, but the truth of God is always the same. Truth, you know, if you tell the truth, you never have to make up a story. You don't have to think about it. It's just truth. Often, to coin a phrase of a horrible song, love hurts. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth
on him.
Right? On him should have eternal life. Should have. God did that. If you wanted to learn more about that, you need to not just hold on to John 3:16, which you can see in any football game as some drunken fellow pulls off his shirt and he's got it tattooed on his chest, you know, or they're holding up a sign, you know, with the all kind of weird stuff. Anyhow, that doesn't matter. But read the rest of John. John 3, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, you know. Read the rest of that anyhow. Folks, I love you. I want us to get squared away on this foundation. I really do. I don't know how many more years, how many more days, how many more months we have left on this earth. I really don't know. Maybe 100 years, and you got plenty of time. Or you might pull out of this parking lot and get hit by a truck, and your time is over. Make it right today. Make it right today. This world is falling apart every moment, every day. There's nothing good here. I pray that you would know Christ and him crucified. I pray that when you speak the oracles of God. I pray that when you love like Jesus loved. I pray that when they hate you, you love them anyhow. I pray that you pour your life into his hands that he might siphon you over a dead, dying world, that they might know the hope that lives within you. Be the church. Amen? be the church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're grateful. We thank you so much for your love, your grace, your power. We do ask, Lord God, that you would move mighty in and of this this group of believers, Lord Jesus, that you would conform us into your likeness. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for that. And we're looking forward to the work that only you could do. Father, we want to just remember all these things and plant them deep in our hearts and our lives, and help us not to look unto men for help, but look unto the Creator of all things. We love you, and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.